saved us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Of his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given to each one of us in Jesus Christ exceedingly great and precious promises. I was reading this morning in the American Heritage Dictionary what a promise is. A promise is a declaration assuming that one will or will not do something. It is a vow. God Almighty has given us certain promises in his word. It is a vow. Now God is the Almighty God. And what he has promised, he shall bring to pass. We see that in Romans chapter 4, which we'll see a little bit later this morning. The special promises of God for those that are in Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at these promises. One, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to go through God's word. Because it is not what we think, it is what God has said in his word. The Bible says in Acts 17:11 that they search the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things are so. So we're going to see what God has for each one of you who come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2,
yes.
Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. What God has for each one of you in Christ, the promises of God, the hope that we have through Jesus Christ, is beyond anything that we truly can imagine. But God has revealed some of these things through his Holy Spirit. Now, what are these exceedingly great and precious promises that God has revealed in his word, the Bible? Now, God, if God has promised, he shall bring it to pass. The first thing that would come to my mind of the great promise of God was that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. That is one of the greatest promises that God has given to each one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. To me, that's a humbling thing to hear, the promise of God for me as a child of God. That my sins would be washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That I would be forgiven of my sins. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven of my sins. I need to repent of my sins and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so when I look at my life before I came to Christ, I see how far short I have fallen from the glory of God. And I remember when I came to Jesus Christ, I wept, for I knew my sins were forgiven. As God laid on him the iniquities of us all, as God laid on him my sin, your sin, Jesus willingly went to the cross to die for me in my place for my sins. And I'm humbled by the promise of God that I would have eternal life by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Not by my works of righteousness, not by anything that I would do, but because of what He's done and my faith in Him as God who came in the flesh and died in my place for my sins and your sins. The great promise of God that He would send His Son, give His Son to die in my place, your place for our sins. That's humbling to me. It should be humbling to you. How much God loves you. How much God gave for you. And so the first promise of God we talk about is that God would send His Son, the Savior of the world. Remember John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Such a gracious Father promised that He would send His Son. We see that in, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Our foretelling of God sending His Son. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Now, a promise could have a good connotation to it or a bad connotation. But we're going to look at the good things that God has promised for those who put their faith in Christ. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." God gave His Son. This is a prophecy of the foretelling of Jesus Christ who would come to this earth. On Friday night, I had the honor of teaching here. And I talked about prophecy. A promise is prophecy. Prophecy is telling you what would happen in the future. The foretelling of what would happen. And that is what a promise is. It's a form of prophecy. God said, this is going to happen. I'm going to send my Son to die in your place and be raised bodily from the dead. That's a prophecy, but that was also a promise of God for each one of us. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus Christ is God, equal with the Father. The Bible says there is one God in three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, these three are one. Eternally existence. Jesus Christ is God. God came in the flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ is God. We need to worship Him as God, honor Him as God, revere Him as God. And so, He will be called Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over His kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God said, I know you. This is what's going to happen. I will do that. You see that in Isaiah through chapters 41 through 48. What God said is going to happen, He is going to do it so that you will know that He is God. God said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the future. So when the things come, you will know that I am God and I have performed it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. My faith, as I said Friday night, is not a blind faith. It's based upon the evidence presented in God's Word. I know it's true. As God said, it's true. And so we see that the prophecy in Micah 5:2, it says that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the one from everlasting. God said, my Son, Jesus Christ, would be born in Bethlehem. A promise of God for each one of us. So the first first thing of a promise was that God would send his son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Here is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Born, Jesus, with God in the flesh, according to the promise of God, foretold by the holy prophets. You want to see if the Bible is true? Look at prophecy. Look at the promises of God and see how they have come true. Again, our faith is not a blind faith. It's based upon the evidence that God has presented in his word that we can verify. So the first thing is the Savior of the world. The promise of his Son through the prophets, through the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. So that's the first promise we wanted to talk about. Now, it's interesting that this promise was made going back to the book of Genesis. Let's go to Genesis. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, it talks about the... We won't go into this a lot, but if you have a chance, go to Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is relating to Jesus Christ, who will die on the cross and will crush the head of Satan. But we won't, we'll leave that alone. But let's go to Genesis chapter 12. One of the first promises in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 12. Now when the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country for your kindred and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Here we see two promises. One relating to the nation of Israel. That from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God would give the land of Israel to the Jewish people. And there are more boundaries, goes into Iraq, but we won't go into that today. If you're wondering whether or not the land in the Middle East belongs to the Israelis, the Jewish people, or the Palestinians, the Word of God clearly says it belongs to the Jewish people. A promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The issue in the Middle East, I touched this on Friday, is not ideological. It's religious. Whether the Bible is correct or the Quran is correct. The Bible says, as you read in your in Galatians, that Isaac is the child of promise. Ishmael is the child of the flesh. The land in the Middle East, Israel, and extended borders belongs to the Jewish people, promised by God. Very important. I don't have time to discuss that today, but it's important you understand what's happening in the world. The Bible says that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And the Bible says he's also going to come back to Jerusalem. He's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives. So the issue is whether the Bible is correct or the Quran is correct. Is the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob
or Abraham and Ishmael? The Bible says it is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the first thing he said, I will make you a great nation. In verse 3 it says, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse him who curses you. This is confirmed, I don't have time to go there, in Numbers also, relating to the Jewish people. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse him who curses you. God has made a special covenant with the Jewish people, the nation unto himself. And it is important that we understand these things. That is a promise of God. This land will be yours. I will digress for a moment and I will ask you to go to Genesis chapter 17. This is one of the major issues in the world today. And so, in Genesis 17, in verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you should call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Ishmael, the child of the flesh, as you see in Galatians chapter 3 and 4. Isaac, the child of promise. For from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will come the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And then you go all the way down to verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. You cannot separate the nation of Israel and the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the foretold one. And it's interesting, in Genesis chapter 12, in these three verses, it says it's a promise of God, by God to Israel, the land, and also in verse 3, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How are the nations of the world to be blessed? Because God would send forth his Son, God in the flesh, to die for our sins upon the cross. In our place, for our sins, a substitutionary death upon the cross for our sins. And then he would be buried, and 3 days later he would be bodily raised from the dead. And by faith in him alone, you can have eternal life. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that we repent of our sins and come to Jesus. So here we see the promises in Genesis chapter 12 of the land for the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, and also Jesus Christ. They are intertwined. More than 30% of the Bible is prophecy. And the two major areas of prophecy are Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel. Very important that you understand. You cannot fully rightly divide the word of truth if you do not understand Jesus Christ in reference to prophecy and the nation of Israel. You cannot. And when I hear people to say that the church is Israel, that's not God's word. The promises are to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob forever, everlasting. A covenant based upon the faithfulness of God, not the faithfulness of man. Very important. So those are some of the promises of God. Very important. I can go through, there's so many scriptures that relate to that God would gather the Jewish people back into the land. You can see that now. God said, I'm going to bring them back into the land. They were scattered in 70 AD, again in 140 AD. But God said, I'm going to bring them back for my name's sake in Ezekiel chapter 36. We need to understand the full counsel of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. To go through God's word, line by line, precept on precept, word upon word, so we understand the full counsel of God's word. Paul said, I haven't shunned to declare you the whole counsel of God's word. You need to know the word of God. You need to be enmeshed and treasure the precious word of God. The promises of God. Very important to understand what God says. It will encourage you. It will increase your faith as you learn more about Him and His precious promises for you. The next promise of God, we see the promise of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. These are the promises of God. God has promised it, He will bring it to pass. Chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. That should be encouragement. All the promises of God through us to the glory of God. It says, now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us to God. Now, look at verse 22. Who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. You have been sealed. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. You are sealed. You are promised eternal salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit promise. When I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am going to be with God for all eternity. This is a promise of God. Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the hope of the Spirit through faith. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in you. You are guaranteed your salvation by your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ephesians, a couple of books after that, chapter 1. This is a promise of God for you. It says, in Him, let's go to verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ shall be the praise of His glory. In Him, in Christ, you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus says, I go away and I will pray the Father and He will send you a comforter. And that is the Holy Spirit. The promise of Jesus Christ to pray to the Father, and He will send you the promise of the Holy Spirit. God's promise for you who are in Christ.
The Holy Spirit gives you power, wisdom, strength to do what God has called you to do. He gives you understanding of God's Word. The promise of the Holy Spirit for those who are in Christ. It says, and in you walk in verse 13 again, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. It is a guarantee. We said that just a few moments ago. I am guaranteed that I'm going to be forever with God and Jesus Christ because I have put my faith in Jesus Christ. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. I have trusted in Christ for my salvation, that He is God who came in the flesh, died for my sins, was buried, and bodily raised from the dead. I repented of my sins, and therefore I'm going to be with Jesus Christ for all eternity because I put my faith in Him. That is a great promise of God. The power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit to those who are in Christ. We see that in Acts 2, verse 33, as the Holy Spirit is being poured out in the book of Acts. The promise, listen to Acts chapter 2, if we could please. Verse 33. I pray that you are excited what God has promised you as His children. We're never alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. Some of you are from China and away from your family and friends, but when you have Jesus Christ, He is with you to comfort you, to help you as you trust in Him. And He's given you His Holy Spirit as a guarantee to help you. In Acts 2:33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, that is Jesus Christ, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you now see and hear. The promise of God. And Jesus said in Luke, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. Very important. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is among us. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in you. And then after you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes upon you to give you the power to do what God has called you to do so that He receives the glory. Let no flesh glory in the presence of God. God will help you. Those who diligently seek the Lord shall find Him. This is a promise of God. Now, let's go to one other thing. Let's go to Acts 10. Acts 10, verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. Here we see the Holy Spirit has come upon believers in Jesus Christ. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Notice one thing. First you see faith. Then you see the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And then you see baptism. Baptism does not save you. It's identification with Christ in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Baptism is an outward expression of the faith that is in us. So you see faith in Christ, and then you see the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of God to help you to do what God has called you to do. Many people say you need to be baptized to be saved. That is not according to God's word. You can see it here in Acts chapter 10, verse 45. Very, very important. Now, let's go to Romans, next book over, chapter 8. These are all promises of God for those that are in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are not a Christian. You are born again by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes in you. He dwells in you. You must have the Spirit of Christ in you in order to be a Christian. If not, you are not a Christian. That comes when you're born again by the Spirit of God. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, by faith in His Word, and faith in who God is, commitment to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God comes and dwells in you. It is exciting what God's plan, what God's promises are for you. So now we have the promise of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. We've had the promise to the nation of Israel that we saw. We see the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the next promise I want to talk about is the promise of the resurrection of the dead. Let's go to Acts 26, please. Acts 26, verse 6. And it says, and now I stand, 26:6, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes earnestly serving God night and day, hoping to attain, for this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises from the dead? The promise of the resurrection of Christ is in the Old Testament. It is something that was taught, that Paul is now making a defense before Agrippa. Now, why do you think incredible that God raises from the dead? That was a dispute. We won't go that at this particular point of why Paul was being attacked. Some believed that there was no resurrection. Some believed there was a resurrection. But there is the resurrection from the dead. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 20, verse 37. God's promises for you. 20:37. It says, now even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Again, it is not the God of Israel, it is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all will live to him. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians it says that unless Christ is risen from the dead, our faith is futile. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. In verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will raise you up. You have eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. That is what Romans 8:11 says. Will give you life. The raised Jesus from the dead will also give you life to more than life. Now, we can go through so many scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15 if you have a chance to look at that. But I got to go faster. Forgive me. One of the things that God has also promised us in the resurrection we will be given a new body in Christ. We're going to come to that in a second. But what God has promised you also is eternal life. Let's go to 1 John chapter 22. Chapter 2. These are the promises for you to encourage you in your walk in Jesus Christ. So that when the difficult times are coming and you have sadness in your life, that you know what God has promised for you. 1 John 2, verse 25. It says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. God says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God has promised you eternal life because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. Verse 3. Remember, promises are something that God has in the future for you. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. But he has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. All right, so you're promised eternal life. To be with God and his Son Jesus Christ in heaven. Now, God has also promised that we are joint heirs with Christ. We can see that in Romans chapter 8. You are adopted children of God. Not everyone is a child of God. You hear that a lot, don't you? We're all children of God. The Bible says to those who receive Jesus Christ, they are the children of God. You can see that in John chapter 1. As many as received him, he gave them the power to become children of God. You're a child of God when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're not a child of God prior to that. Let's go to, I see some eyes looking. Let's go to John chapter 1. I know this is a lot, and we have just a few minutes left. I appreciate your courtesy. In verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. How do you become a child of God? By faith in Jesus Christ. As many as received him, he gave them the right, the power to become son of God. So you have the promises, a joint heirs, and just go to Romans chapter 8. And in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness in our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, we also may be glorified together. For I consider the sufferings of this present time as not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When I became born again, I became a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ of all the things that God has promised me. I'm a child of God. Imagine joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Next. The next promise of God is in Romans 8, 23 and 24. And it says, and not only they, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves grow within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? One of the great promises of God for you as Christians is the redemption of your bodies. That is the rapture of the church. Jesus said in John 14, I go away and prepare in my Father's house of many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And when I come, I will bring you unto myself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. One of the greatest promises of God is the rapture of the church, where you will have a new body. You can see that in 1st. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going fast now, please forgive me, but these are important things that you need to know what God has promised for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says in verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what bodies do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. God will give you, at the rapture of the church, and I'll be very, very quickly, there will come a time when the church age will end. And then we who are on this earth, the dead of Christ will rise first, and we who are alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You can see that in John chapter 14. You can see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The promise of God that you will have a new body, not made with hands, that will be forever. It's, again, I only have 5 minutes left, and so I've got to go quickly. But read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The promises of God for each one of you. Now, promises of a new body, you see that in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, we're promised heaven, a heavenly home. We're promised every spiritual blessing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I want to read this from 1 Kings chapter 8. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised to his servants. Everything you've read here today is true and is going to happen. Every promise of God for you who put your faith in Christ, is going to happen. You will have a new body. You will be resurrected. You will be with God for all eternity. You will be in heaven for all eternity with Jesus Christ. In Revelation 21, if you can just turn there. I know it's hard sometimes. You look around the world. Some of you are sad. You have difficulty with your families. Some of them may be sick. But look what God has in store for you in Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. No more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. A promise of God for each one of us in Jesus Christ. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these things are true and faithful. I'm looking for that day. I'm looking for the rapture of the church, the redemption of my body. So I'm looking forward to it.
I want to be with Jesus Christ. My everything, and I long to be with my Lord. How about you? What do you long to be with? What is important to you? But the promises of God are also for you today. It's for you every single day. And we see that in the scriptures. The promises are obtained by faith. I don't have time to go through that now. Believe in God and His Word. It is by faith. It's through the righteousness of faith in Christ. If it is by faith, it is not by works. Now, how will you respond to these promises of God? How will you respond? There are some here who have never given their lives to Jesus Christ. Really never made a commitment to Him. God wants us to praise Him, to thank Him, to worship Him, to love Him, to be in obedience to His Word. That our bodies would be a living sacrifice unto Him. Where are you with Jesus Christ today? If you want the promises of God in your life, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. You must repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I believe God wants to give you this opportunity today to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The gospel is very simple. There is one God in three persons. Father, Son, who is Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, eternally existent. These three are one. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You are sinner. You need to repent of your sins and ask God for forgiveness. You need to believe that Jesus Christ, God who came in the flesh, died on the cross, a substitutionary death for you on the cross. He stood in your place for your sins. He died on the cross, shed His blood on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, He bodily raised from the dead. He rose from the dead. And by faith in Him alone, you can have eternal life. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would ask you to pray with me now. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father and His angels in heaven. But you need to give your life, commit your life to Jesus Christ, trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God loves you. He showed you His love through His cross. He's told you the promises that He has for those who love Him and have given their lives to Jesus. But it's a free will. You have the sovereignty of God, the free will of man. It is your choice whether you want to choose life and to be with Christ for all eternity or death, eternally separated from God. What will you do? You've examined God's Word. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And I'm going to ask those who want to give their life to Jesus Christ, those who are not sure if they're saved, to come to Jesus. Because God loves you. He wants to forgive you. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, I will by no means cast him out. God wants to save you today. He wants to forgive your sins, knowing that you will be in heaven for all eternity. What will you do? If you want to pray, I'll pray a prayer with you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And again, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And you will have the promises of God. If you want to receive Jesus Christ and recommit your life to Christ, I'd ask you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Please forgive my sins. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. I commit my life to Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I ask Jesus into my heart today. In Jesus' name we pray. For those who prayed that prayer, I'd ask you to raise your hand. Anyone prayed that prayer? Don't be shy. Okay. Let me pray. Father, we praise you, we love you, we thank you for the promises of God, the hope of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless this wonderful church. Bless these wonderful people. We give you the glory, God, for what you've done. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. I do pray for the rapture of the church and for the peace of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you did pray, go to see one of the elders of the church. Tell them, let them pray to you. Be back.